Amen. Do keep that passage open before you. We're going to be looking at the verses in the text here, Ephesians 3. We've got the edited highlights behind us, but we're going to look at the whole two verses tonight. If I don't, not me, I'm Steve, I'm the vicar here. It's great to have you with us tonight. And we've been doing this verse of the year all day today. Normally we have different series morning and evening, but today we're focusing the whole church family across our congregations on this verse as we look ahead to all that God has for us in the coming year. Let's pray as we look at God's word together now. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for today, for our church family, for all the congregations that have gathered around your word. And we pray for this congregation here, for us, for our hearts and our minds to be opened and attentive to hear the power of your truth, that it might shape us and help us, we pray, to live for you this year as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, life is extraordinary, isn't it? One moment you can be elated, you can be filled up like this balloon. Here we go, let me try and blow it up for us. Encouraged, buoyant, upbeat. But the next moment, we can easily feel deflated and discouraged. Never forget one of the many high points of our married life is when we brought our adopted daughter home for the first time. It was so exciting. In the afternoon, she joined us that afternoon. In the morning, we took delivery of a brand new van that would fit all the family. It was white, it was shiny, eight seats, enough room for both dogs. It was perfect, and I felt on top of the world, like Christmas had come in one day. A new boy's toy and a gorgeous new child in our family. But forward wind, a few weeks later, we went away as a family to France on holiday. And we crossed over on the ferry. We were driving through France. I stopped for petrol, and Jenny went to pay for the petrol in the petrol station there. And when she was away, I thought I'd remove the car, and I reversed the car into a concrete bollard. Crunch. It was agony. And of course, I swore all the kids to secrecy. Don't you say anything to your mother until I'm ready. And they were very loyal for days. And one night, I surprised my wife and distressed her all in one go as I showed her the big bump on the back of our car. But actually, life is like that, isn't it? It can be moments of great joy and elation, and moments of great discouragement where we're disheartened. And the Christian life feels like that too, doesn't it? At times we're so aware, aren't we, of the Lord's blessing and encouragement upon us. And we're carried on a sea of encouragement as we know and love and follow Him. But at other times, it's tough. And we wonder, is God able to help us? Is He able to do anything? Do His promises count for anything? Is He able to deliver what He promises in the Word? Tough times can shrink our view of God, which means that our God becomes so small, pocket-sized, limited. Friends, if we're believers tonight, what is your view of God? How do you see Him? Is He powerful or weak and pocket-sized? And sometimes we look at our lives or our church or our denomination and we feel so discouraged. And we wonder, is God really able to deliver what He promises in the Bible? We were chatting last year as a staff team about our verse for the year for this year. And together we sat in the stables where we often meet to chat and pray. And we were just thinking about the encouragements of being part of this church family. The joy of our Sunday congregations, the joy of ministry during the week, the joy of the opportunities we have to share the gospel. We were sitting in a place of encouragement, but also at the same time sitting in a place of discouragement. A discouragement because of all that's going on in our denomination right now within the Church of England as the Church of England moves away from the gospel as it votes to bless what God calls sin. You see, when you sanctify sin, you don't need a saviour anymore, and that's really serious. Maybe you feel that discouragement right now. We look back at last year and we thought, well, we prayed so hard about the Church of England. We've never had such big prayer meetings before. And yet the outcome was so disappointing last November, where a small majority voted against the teaching of the Bible. I found that so hard, so disheartening, so upsetting. I am so encouraged by what God is doing here and at countless churches across this whole country, and yet I feel discouraged by the direction of travel of our own denomination, the Church of England. Well, as the staff team sat in those two places, encouragement here, discouragement in the Church of England, we decided to go for this verse for the year. So we can set our gaze on the power and the ability of our God to lift our eyes to Him. That's why we chose Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. You've got the edited highlights here. These are great faith-filled, glory-giving praise prayer to the powerful triune God, which the Apostle Paul, a prisoner at the time, writes to Christians in Ephesus. Look at the verses again. 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever and ever. Aren't they just great verses? Don't you just love them? When we face discouragement or challenge, we, as the people of God, to set our gaze beyond our situation to the greatness and power of God, who we know through Jesus Christ. And notice, will you, that these verses come in the context of a prayer that Paul prays. The prayer is there, verses 14 to 19 is a prayer he prays for the Ephesian Christians to know more of the power and the love and the presence of God in their lives to comfort and encourage them. And the Apostle Paul is a pastor. He's caring for his congregation there in Ephesus. He knows they're discouraged. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged, he says to them, because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. He knows they're discouraged that he is, chapter 3, verse 1, a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Here's the guy that they came to know Christ through. He's now locked up, locked away, and they're discouraged. And that feels really, really hard. Paul is aware that these believers need encouragement, just as we do. You see, as Paul prays these things in verses 14 to 19, as we hear endless promises in this book of Ephesians that we're going to look at later on this year, all of it, we have to ask, can God deliver? Can he deliver? Can God dwell in his people? Can he empower his people? Can they grow in their love and knowledge of him? Can they have a greater sense of his presence with them? Those are real questions, aren't they, friends? For us as Christians, as churches, can we trust him? Will he deliver on his promises? Even when things seem to be hard or going in the wrong direction or are discouraging in our lives or our church, our denomination or the world. That's why these verses for the year are so super helpful for us today and this year, I pray. Well, let's take a look at these verses together. Four questions to get under the skin of our verse for the year. They are discouragement-busting bits of news. Four questions: can God deliver? What can God deliver? How does God deliver? And what does this result in? First question: can God deliver on his promises and what he says and what Paul prays? Can he be trusted? Can he answer the prayers that Paul prays? Can he do what he says he can do? What's the answer? The answer is yes, he can. To these discouraged believers, he says, now to him who is able. He might not have looked like he was able. Sometimes situations make us think, that seems to me like the opposite of what I believe. It's possible. As I was amazed at what my granny could do. She was little and not strong, but she was extraordinary. One day she showed up, she went to her house in Carmarthenshire. She lived on the side of a hill with a farmstead, and she took me out to see her chickens. There must have been 25 of them out there, clucking away. She loved to feed them, she loved to care for them day by day. And the next time we went to visit her in Carmarthenshire, they'd all gone. And I said, Granny, did the fox get them? She said, no, I got them. She killed the lot, pulled their heads, plucked them, and froze them. And as I slurped on my chicken soup, I took on a whole new meaning that lunchtime. Now, if you'd have said to me, could your granny ever do that? I'd say, no way. She loves them too much. She's just so small, so little, so sweet. She feeds her chickens, but granny did it. Poof. Pluck, 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 in the freezer. She was pretty able. She could do it. For the Ephesians, feeling discouraged, their apostle locked up, suffering. It didn't look too promising. What did they need to know as they looked beyond their circumstances? That the God who they trusted is the God who is able. In spite of how things look, how things appeared. We know in life, don't we, that even the most dependable people let us down. Because we're flawed, we're finite. And we think that God is like us, but praise God, he's not. We have such a small view of him. We see discouragement and we wonder, is he on the throne? Is he powerful? But our verse for the year says, no, no. He is able. He is able. Just look at the ability of God described in Ephesians 3 verse 9, just those last four words. Who created all things? Now that's power, isn't it? Some things? No, all things. That little bit over there? No, all things. This planet alone? No, the whole universe. That is power. If God created all things, he is powerful and he is able. Don't doubt his ability. God is great. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent, present everywhere all the time. This is our God. Through Jesus Christ, he is our God. And he is able. The Ephesians see their leader in prison. And they wonder, can't God free him? Of course he can. That's just where he wants him right then. He's able to do whatever he wants. All powerful, almighty. Friends, he is able. He has all the power to do whatever he likes, whatever he wills. He can do it and we can trust him. Even if he doesn't do what we want him to do. Don't doubt his ability to deliver his plan, his purposes. And if he is able, then the second discouragement-busting question and answer is this. What can he deliver? If he's able, what can he deliver? It's that lovely next phrase. He can do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. What a phrase. Immeasurably more. I wonder how you would picture that phrase. Maybe it'd be like this. You'd have a cup like this with too much water and you pour the water in and it overflows because actually it can take, there's immeasurably more it can go into it, but it just can't take it. Or maybe you think of those happy days going to Pizza Hut and there's the salad bar which is just vast and enormous. You get a tiny little bowl and you fill it as high as you can. And you walk away, there's tomatoes and lettuce falling everywhere. But actually, there was immeasurably more than you could ever imagine to get into that tiny bowl. And it's so frustrating because the croutons are so nice with the blue cheese sauce, aren't they? But there's immeasurably more than you can take. Or maybe you go to a restaurant where if you buy the cup, you can have bottomless drinks. And you go back again and again and again and again. But they've got you because they know that your bladder's not big enough to cope. And they've made money out of your greed. There's immeasurably more of drinking those taps that you cannot touch. Immeasurably more. Vast amounts. Too big to quantify. Extraordinary. Well, hear the truth that grows dependent faith. God can do immeasurably more than we can ask for. The wonderful gift of prayer, of asking our Father. He can do more than we can ever ask. We express our dependence on him by praying. And as we do that, Paul says God is able to do immeasurably more than you could even ask. But he's also able to do immeasurably more than we can ever imagine. Now, our imaginations can be pretty wild and extreme, can't they? Take all the possibilities and scope of your imagination, and God cannot be out-imagined. He can do more than we could ever think of or imagine. Now that's faith-building stuff, isn't it? It's not just about, this is not about name it and claim it. It's not about getting the life I want or what I think I need or an easy, suffering-free life. No, Paul is writing this from prison. This is the God who acts and wills for our good and his glory, and he's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine in any way he wants, whether that's materially or spiritually. But as you read through Ephesians, we see the bounty of spiritual blessing as the primary blessing of knowing Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says that God blesses us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, an abundance of blessing. And this is the God who, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his gift of faith, puts his life within us. 1 verse 13, he puts a spirit in us, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Spirit of God comes in and lives in us. Wow! This is the God who has blessed us, chapter 3, verse 8, with the gospel message of the boundless riches of Christ. Immeasurably more. Generous beyond all we can imagine. Isn't that glorious? Now, one of my afflictions as a Welshman is excessive superlatives and exaggeration. But friends, that's not Paul's problem here. You can't out-exaggerate God and his abilities. He's able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And that is big, it is boundless, it is faith-building stuff. Can God deliver? Yes, he can. What can God deliver immeasurably more? How does he deliver? Well, it's according to his power at work in us. It's according to his power, his ability. Notice what he does. It's at work in and through us. Now, friends, you might not feel that power. But just think a moment about the miracle that God has done for you when you became a Christian, if you are a believer tonight. If you are a Christian, if you are trusting in Christ, if you felt the conviction of sin, if you run to Jesus, your Savior and King, who died and rose for you, if you feel the comfort of his presence and joy and hope in him, that is a massive thing. That changes everything. That is spiritual life. That is supernatural power. That is the work of God in you, the able, mighty God. Flip back to Ephesians chapter 2. And have a look at the way that Paul describes the before and after story of Ephesian Christians and for every believer. Ephesians chapter 2, have a look at it. Flick your pages back, verse 1, Ephesians 2, verse 1. Look at how Paul describes the Christians before they came to know Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead in your transgressions and sins, spiritually dead. But then when people came to faith, a supernatural work happened. The power of God came in. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Before being Christians, we were spiritually dead, but he gave us new life, resurrection life. Brought us to spiritual life. That is a massive thing. We're not born like that. We're born spiritually dead. God has to come in and change us by his power. He brings us from death to life, from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, from not being part of the people of God to being adopted into his family. We who are far away have been brought near. That is the powerful work of God in you, for you. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 that it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That was mighty power. This is the power at work in you. And he uses us in his kingdom work. His power at work in us, in the world. By his power, he helps us to know his love more and more, his fullness, his presence, his power in us. God is able, and he works in people like you and me. Isn't that remarkable? We see his power in creation. We see his power in salvation. We experience it in our hearts and lives. Friends, if you know Christ tonight, that is a powerful, supernatural thing to be encouraged by. His presence, his fullness, his love in us to the encouragements and discouragements of life. He is at work by his power. Amazing. And we say, praise God. Glory to God. And friends, that's where our verses land. This great doxology, this praise prayer to the triune God ends in giving him glory. He is able, He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. He does that by his power at work in us. And what does that result in? To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory. To him be the praise. We exist as individuals, as a church, as those who are in Christ Jesus to bring glory and praise to him now and forevermore. And in heaven, it's going to be the biggest praise party you'll have ever known. The amazing work of Jesus through his in our lives of gathering people together to be the family of God. Glory in the church. Our existence is to bring glory to God as his people. Friends, as we look ahead as a church, we will face challenges as a church community in the coming years. With all that's going on within the Church of England, there's lots of decisions to make, things we need to think through and pray about. There will be encouragements and discouragements. But actually, what we want to do in all of that is to look to him, to know the comfort of his presence and his love and his power filling us, resulting in praise and confident trust in God in 2024, because he is able. Remarkable, isn't it? All these truths. Can God deliver? He is able. What can God deliver? Immeasurably more. How does God deliver? By his power at work in us. And what does this result in? Glory. Praise. Let me leave you with three words to repeat to yourself this week and throughout this year. I've said them many times to myself this week. He is able. He is able. As I've thought about the challenges of leadership, I've thought, no, Steve, he is able. When I see people I love and pray for who have not yet come to Christ, I say, he is able. In the battles I face against sin and spiritual attack, I can say, he is able. Amen and amen. Let me pray. Oh Lord God, thank you so much for these amazing words, this glorious truth. Lord, thank you that you are the mighty God who is able and powerful, can do more than we can ever imagine. As we look to our future, we know your hand is upon us as a church, and you will lead us, you will guide us, you'll make the way clear. Keep us faithful, keep us serving, keep us trusting, and keep us reminding ourselves of the glorious truth of this verse, that our God is able. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.